Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Inside the Football Business with Neil Stratton and Justin Van Fulpen as we talk about the business that goes on inside the football world. With 3 weeks till the NFL draft, less than 3 weeks till the NFL draft, kicks off, a lot of business going on and a lot of news, things that will happen here in the next 3 weeks. Some things that Neil does a great job tracking as regards to the teams, the local workouts or local pro days, and then, kind of top 30 visits. What are those, and where that stuff is at there. So we kind of wanted to start off the show with that in regards to, hey, a lot of people listen to this, kind of know about it. Some people, don't. So we want to kind of get some, insight into that. And we'll start kind of with the team local pro days. I know that's something, Neil, that you, kind of track there and stuff like that. Do you think there's value? And what are these clubs looking when they're bringing in those local guys, whether it's guys that are in the metro Atlanta area or Chicago area or Miami area that are going to these team, workouts here, during the next, some of them have already started and next week there's a lot more that are going on there.
Well, there's a lot. This has become something that's gained a little bit more media exposure in the last really year to 2 years. Up until then, this was almost a secret, these local team workouts that are sponsored by the teams themselves and they're held at their workout facilities. I remember in probably 03 or 04, I reached out to the Texans about their local workout, and I think it was seen as such a benign thing that the person that I spoke to just said, hey, let me fax you all the players we invited. And so, bam, he sent me a list of every player that was on that they came in, and there were probably 40 or 50 players. And that was pretty cool. And now, like almost everything else, these teams are very secretive, and they don't want the list to get out. And you may get see something on Twitter here or maybe somewhere else on the Internet there. But for the most part, it's become – a situation where it's part of the deepest, darkest secrets of the draft, and most teams want to kind of keep it close to the vest. But with all that said, just establishing a few of the ground rules for these workouts, they're players that are from the metro area that either played high school or college football within the metro area as defined by the Ramlett Valley map for any of the NFL teams. Teams can invite them in. And typically it's anywhere from 15 players, which is common for some teams, to as many as 50 and sometimes even more, maybe 60 players that are invited in, kind of depending on where the team is located and their philosophy on these workouts and how they want to do it and all those kinds of things. And one thing that I think is pretty interesting and maybe a new trend is that whereas probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we really tried to start aggressively tracking these, most teams had them, but certainly not all. I would say probably 20 of the 32 teams had these local workouts. What you found was the teams that were from populous areas, especially in the Southeast, Atlanta, New Orleans, Miami, teams along those lines, they had them because why not? You're in a very highly populous area with a lot of players, a lot of talent players come from that area, so why not have them come in? And so a lot of these teams did it, whereas the teams that were in maybe more remote areas, like a Seattle, like a Denver, teams along these lines that are in the West especially, didn't have them because, again, you're not drawing from the major metropolitan areas, and these areas are not necessarily known for their athletic talent anyway, so maybe it was extraneous to have them. But this year Denver's having one. I believe Seattle's having one. All these teams that traditionally did not have them are having them. Now, Minnesota still is not. Jacksonville, which just boggles my mind, is not. But most of these teams are having them. So that's kind of an overview of who's having them and what the situation is there. Again, as far as who can come in, I get questions about this all the time because obviously having a player go to a workout with a team is something that it's kind of a feather in an agent's hat. They want other clients to be there. But unless the player's from that metro area, and again, I don't know of anyone who buys a Rand McNally map these days, but that's how they define it. That's kind of how they keep it so that everybody can look, and it's a rather, I don't know how you want to describe it, impartial thing. But if you're from that area, then you can come in. And typically a team will use kind of one of its scouts are on the lower rung to organize these things and to make contact with players. I'm sorry, usually with agents, sometimes with players directly, and they'll invite them in. But there's also kind of a heavy lobbying element to this. And so if you're an agent who's got a player from the area and you call in, you know who to talk to, and you call in a timely manner, often you can get a guy in. And so we try to encourage our clients to do that. We try to provide them with the contact who's running the show. We try to let them know, obviously, when the workout is so they have a little bit of a lead in, some lead time to getting there. And then, you know, we track it a bit, and we try to find out who's going, but not to the extent that some of these other services do because, again, Justin, and you already know this is kind of a last screen for teams. I mean, they're not bringing in Joey Boza to come in and come to these workouts. They're looking more at the guys that are from small schools that maybe have not gotten a proper look or from schools that had pro days that were really, really populous and had lots of kids coming through and they didn't get to give them the individual looks. Or maybe a player didn't even have a pro day because he came from a school that didn't have one. And so they're using this as one more, date on the calendar, one more evaluation mark. But you're not looking at projected first-rounders coming through in these events. These are just more for players that they want to make sure that they can, for lack of a better word, kind of eliminate them. They want to make sure that these guys have at least been given a shot, and at least they have a verifiable time, and at least they got a real look at these guys. And most of the players that are coming through on these workouts are going to be undrafted free agents most of the time. Now, sometimes they may get a late draft selection, but 99% of the time these are looking at guys that are tryout player possibilities, sometimes undrafted free agents, but we're not talking about guys that are rated in the top 100, 150 prospects. So it's something that's started to get a lot of attention, and maybe that's warranted. I mean, it is the draft, obviously, is very popular, but to the degree that some people are thinking maybe that this is some kind of shadowy evaluation situation where the team's super sleepers are coming in and this is a look at the guys that they're trying to slide in the third round or fourth round, that's not what this is. So it's something that's worth checking out, something worth that warrants attention, but maybe not as exciting as it sounds at first blush.
No, and I think what it is, like you said, it's the undrafted guys, it's the tryout guys, it's the guys who are local because, again, hey, if I've, and especially it's that kind of, hey, if it's a difference between this wide receiver and that wide receiver and this receiver, if I'm, the Chicago Bears and the Annapolis Colts and this guy is a local guy, well, it's, hey, if we bring in a local guy, it's a good story, it's a good media thing, and sure, as well as that he can play, I mean, I've seen that all the time. It's like the last couple of guys that they sign or rookie tryouts are guys from, the schools around that, that area. And right. And it makes sense, and again, if they really loved a guy, any team would have drafted that player. But I think it's nothing that I think people should get too excited about if their client is going to one of these workouts, but it's something that, hey, if you can get your guy, if you got a player, a client that's from the Atlanta area, you should get them to the, Falcons workout, mm-hmm. just to get them in front of those guys, get them in the building. I know the Baltimore Ravens bring in a ton of guys there from that Maryland, area. I think that's it, you know, there is some value there, but again, it's more of those late round, priority free agents, tryout type, guys there. So there's some value. I wouldn't take a huge stock in it, and so we'll see. But another thing that, mm-hmm. that is for some of the top prospects, as well as some of the undrafted guys or, late round guys is what's technically called the top 30 visits. And basically each club is allowed to bring in 30 prospects to their facility. So fly them in, kind of work them out. And why I say that's, not necessarily all the first round guys is, a client of mine, quarterback Trevor Siemian, last year had two top 30 visits, one to Denver and one to Cleveland. And basically his was more on a medical check because he wasn't a guy who went to the combine and then didn't have the medical check at the combine as well as the recheck that will happen here in next week, where all the guys who have medical red flags will go back to Indianapolis that were from the combine, like a Jalen Smith, the linebacker out of Notre Dame, there.
Right.
So guys who maybe weren't at the combine that, hey, now maybe weren't a potential draft selection, and they've had some medical history issues there, so clubs want to get them and get them to their doctor there. But they also will bring in first-round potential picks that the team will have. And I've seen also guys that maybe that they think is more of an undrafted free agent route, and they want to use this as a kind of a college recruiting thing, saying, hey, we think that you're probably not going to get drafted, but, they want to go ahead and, get that there, get them an opportunity to kind of come in there. So to me, those are the three different reasons why teams bring in prospects for a top 30 visit. Neil, what have you seen over the years or trends that you've tracked in regards to these top 30 visits? And is there anything that people, agents, your clients can kind of read into it and or can kind of try to help their guy get to one of these top 30 visits?
Mm-hmm. Well, starting off, I guess to some degree, 30 visit is a bit of a misnomer because they're not bringing in their top 30 players. These are guys that they're just 30 players they want to have a look at. I had an agent really get after me a couple years ago because I kept calling them top 30 visits on the site, and he's like, well, they're not top 30. Okay, everyone understands that. They're just bringing in 30 guys they need another look at. Trevor is a good example. Here's a guy that had perhaps some medical issues, and they just wanted to verify that he was okay. He checked out. The Broncos drafted him. They're looking at any number of players, and where they fit in the draft can vary. And so a team might have brought in a Jameis Winston last year. Then they might also brought in some guy that they didn't know, who fit more into the end of the draft. They're going to probably, I would say that most teams typically are going to bring in 30 guys, and I would say about half of them are probably slotted into the first round, and then a half of them are slotted into the last round and undrafted free agency. It's just one more way to get in front of a kid in a meaningful way and be able to interview them without any time constraints and without any other of the limits and obstacles that you have to face, whether you're at an all-star game or you're at the combine or you're anywhere where you just don't have control of the situation. And I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you can work them out on these top 30s. I should know that. There are certain things you can't do. I know that you're not supposed to be able to give them a year analysis. Now, I think some teams violate that, and most of the players that are brought in on top 30s are not going to say, well, I'm not going to do a year analysis because you're not supposed to ask me to do that. Most of them, if you're brought in, the top 30 visits have become a way to really – the teams, there really is a level of interest if you come in on a top 30. And so I think this has become far more significant than the team pro days because – I know teams are really, really secretive about this, and you see these visits that pop up on Twitter or pop up somewhere on the internet, and usually when you do, you can rest assured that as soon as that comes up, the agent for that player is going to get a nasty call or email or text from someone at that team saying, hey, you are probably the one who let this out, and we don't appreciate it because, again, it is a rather serious, rather significant thing when a player brings someone in for a top 30. So I think you kind of have both ends of the scale. The team pro days are kind of a last gasp, whereas the top 30s are where a team really looks at a player. Now, Are the top 30s a good way for subterfuge and kind of conveying messages that teams want to convey that may not be actual? Oh, yeah. That's definitely part of the process. I mean, I think everyone understands that half the information you hear this time of year is complete BS, and the other half may really be on the mark. But at the same time, I think for the most part, a top 30 visit for a player is something that really matters. And if a team brings in a guy for one of those visits, then the team really has real, genuine interest in the player. So it is interesting to see that. The tricky thing is there are so many things to monitor now, and so many, and some have relevance and some don't. For example, and I know you know this, Justin, sometimes a team will work out a player. Well, that's not the same thing as a top 30 visit. But sometimes those things will be conflated, and there's a lot of misunderstanding there, and that's kind of the fog of war aspect of the draft where it's hard to really say, well, this guy got this but not this. For example, the teams that aren't in Nashville and Blesto, like the Ravens, like the Patriots, a handful of other teams, they conduct a lot of workouts of players that you might not think were highly rated. And it's mainly because they don't have access to the numbers that you might get from a Blesto report or a national report, and so they've got to gather their own stuff. So they're sending everyone in the office that can operate a stopwatch goes out and times people and works them out and that kind of thing so they can come back with information. So there's a lot going out and out there that you're going to find on Twitter, that you're going to find maybe on Instagram, that you're going to find across social media, across all the internet platforms. But sorting it all out and really weighing it out and figuring out what has value and what doesn't has really kind of become harder than ever. And so I guess it all goes back to why there's so much mystery and intrigue associated with the draft, because you really don't know. Now, again, last point I'll make. Two teams brought in Trevor last year, and one of them drafted him. So that's, again, a good illustration of really what kind of value teams put on the top 30 visits. They do matter. And so it's just hard sometimes to sort them out from all the other stuff that's out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when they're not going to, you know, I don't know if they can, but I've never heard of a guy working out at a top 30 visit. You know, it's more of a, you know, hey, you go put on your best pair of jeans or your slacks and your polo shirt and go there, you know, and to kind of as more of an interview standpoint than a workout. You know, one thing I will say is that, you know, now teams are able to work out as many guys, you know, or as many times as they want at a facility. So they could go work out, like you were saying with the Patriots, you could go work out 200 guys if you went to, you know, Purdue and Michigan and Central Michigan and, you know, LSU, whatever, on campus. You can work out as many guys as you want to. I think that top 30 is more on, hey, we want to get you in the building. We want to get you to meet all the coaches and,
right.
it's, you know, more there. So, but again, I think it's definitely something that's, you know, as an agent, you need to pay attention there. And that brings up, you know, kind of another thing in regards to what we had talked a little bit about off the air in regards to, hey, if you're an agent and your client or you are not getting a call right around this time, you know, especially leading up to the draft and saying, okay, hey, what's in regards to discussing, saying, hey, we're interested, you know, not necessarily saying we're interested, but just having those discussions, having, you know, contact, you know, and that's one thing I always tell my guys is you need to, you know, hey, every time an NFL club calls you, text you, you need to let me know just so we can track it, because, you know, mm-hmm. I don't think it's anything that's secretive, but David Heidlin, a Purdue offensive lineman, is a client of mine, and he's a guy who is from Sweden, has, you know, we've got to work on his visa in regards to, but he's got more interest in the last probably 2 weeks, you know, regards to teams wanting to come work him out, teams, you know, you know, calling him and teams, you know, calling me and just saying, okay, hey, just on bits of information. Oh, well, hey, you know, what's this? You know, what happened to this? Whatever. And it's not full-blown hour conversations. It's, you know, here, there, you know, this, you know, club asked that, et cetera, there, you know, about the prospect, or this guy wants to work him out, or this guy wanted to meet with him the day before the pro day. You know, those are things mm-hmm. that you've got to, you know, as an agent is kind of keep track of it, because then you know, okay, hey, these are the teams that potentially could be interested in him. And it's all based on what the team does, especially when we're talking about a late round or a PFA guy. It's all based on what the team does prior to, you know, that seventh round or PF or priority free agent. You know, it's what they mm-hmm. took in the first round, what they took in the second round, et cetera, there in regards to if they'll have interest in your client. But if your client or you aren't talking as an agent to a club or hearing from a club, that's probably a good indication of where your client stacks up on each club's board. So, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll let you, you know, kind of, you know, add to that. I mean, Neil, I mean, kind of what have you heard or seen in regards to your clients and kind of more information we can give to those people out there?
Well, we've talked about in the past, Justin, that most teams, I think, contrary to popular belief, they don't have 1,000 guys on their board. They've got 120 to 150 guys on their boards typically of players that they really like and they really would draft. And not all those guys are obviously potential first-rounders. But they're going to be working, I would say the line is probably the fifth round. Every player who's rated fifth round and lower could potentially be an undrafted free agent. And so teams are aggressively calling those players agents, and in some cases calling the players too, and they're trying to pitch them on the merits of coming in to and signing as undrafted free agents with that team. Now, some teams are more aggressive about it than others. All 32 teams do not do this exactly the same way. However, most teams lately have picked, I don't know what number that will be, maybe 20 guys. And, again, I'm kind of picking that number out of the air. But maybe 20 guys, maybe 30 guys that they aggressively go after starting probably the 1st of April and continuing all the way through the draft. And they're pitching these players on, hey, look, we – would really like you to come in. You may get drafted, and that's great if you do, but if you don't, I hope that you'll seriously consider us. And they're not talking money, or at least they're not supposed to, but they're mainly talking about, hey, here's the opportunity here. We're old at your position, or we've had multiple injuries at your position, or we're just thin at your position. And so they're really going after you. I think last year there were a couple teams, the Chiefs being one of them, that actually filmed pitches by the general manager, where the general manager will come on and say, hey, name the player, talk about the player, talk about how the general manager would really like the player to come in. I know the Chiefs did that, and there may have been one other team that did that as well, and they sent that out to the player, and, you know, that's kind of above and beyond the call, and that's something that a team really had to invest some time and effort into, and I think it made an impression on a lot of the players and the agents last year. Now, does that mean that they automatically sign? No, but it's one more step, and I think, again, it shows the level of interest that a team might have. Now, the other side of that card is I get a lot of calls this time of year and emails and just general questions about, hey, I'm not hearing from teams. If you're not hearing from teams right now, we're 3 weeks out from the draft, less than 3 weeks, that's not a good sign, and I don't mean to put too fine a point on that, and I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade, but the facts are, at this point, teams have gotten past all the, you know, they're homing in on the target, and so they're really trying to find out who's going to be on their team, and they're trying to set the table any way they can, and they're not going to be inclined to ignore a player because they don't want information to get out. At this point, they're trying to gather all the information they can, and they're willing to take a risk on perhaps being exposed. And so if your client is getting crickets at this time of year, then it's probably fair to say there's not a great level of NFL interest. Again, doesn't mean that he won't get signed as an undrafted free agent, but you should be hearing something. And if you're not, then maybe it's time to explore the Arena League. Maybe it's time to send your client to a CFL workout. Maybe it's even time to lightly discuss the fact that your client's not going to be drafted with the client, and to at least broach the subject. It's going to be a lot easier if you introduce that 3 weeks out from the draft than if you have to have this conversation during round seven of the draft. So that's kind of something I try to tell my agent clients, and especially my newer ones that are kind of trying to weigh this out and figure it all out. Teams are, to some degree, they're showing their cards and showing their hand because they can't afford not to. They've got to go out and get every question answered, just like you alluded to, Justin. They've got to try to get every box checked so that they know exactly who these players are. Then they become part of their team. So that's kind of the long and short of things, and gives people an idea.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, definitely some valuable information. We've got about 3 minutes left to go here, Neil. We did want to touch base a little bit on the NFL has canceled the league-wide rookie symposium, something that they had done for a number of years, actually moved it to Canton, Ohio, to the Pro Football Hall of Fame the last couple of years. It did bring some controversy a couple years ago when Chris Carter famously told the guys, you better get a fall guy, and that was recorded, and it was on ESPN. And we saw that kind of pop up here with the Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver with the Jets, and as far as Mike Sim Walker, the receiver, said, you know, he was going to take the fall, and it was something that Pro Football Talk had a little bit of fun about in regards to Chris Carter. Maybe Mike Sim Walker listened to Chris Carter there at the rookie symposium. So, Bree, like I said, we got Neil. What's your thoughts in regards to, hey, the NFL canceling this? Is it a good thing, bad thing? I think it's only good thing about it is they only did it for drafted guys, and 30% of the NFL makes up by undrafted guys. So, but hey, if they don't do something, that could cause an issue. My 30-second thought on it.
Sure, I agree with you, Justin. I think it's smarter to do it this way. I think the symposium had kind of taken a marketing aspect over the last few years. I mean, it was kind of a time when all these people that want to get a piece of players descended on Canton or descended on LA or wherever they were holding it, and it became about the glitz and the glamour of the show, and I think the NFL is kind of trying to take some of that out of it and put more on the local teams. Again, it allows them to reach out to the undrafted guys that may be making rosters. It allows them to put their own spin on things. You know, if there's certain things that you need to know in Seattle that you don't need to know in Los Angeles or Washington, D.C., and vice versa. So I think it's a good thing, but it's going to put a little bit more of the onus on the teams now. And so it'll be interesting to see how some of them handle it versus other teams. Some will be very extensive, some maybe not as much.
Yeah, it should be interesting. So, you know, definitely in regards to good information there, in regards to everything there. 60 seconds, Neil, kind of what's going on ITL this next upcoming week? Anything, you know, that we should be looking forward to besides the normal?
Well, we're finally going to try to catch up on our profile reports and try to start to focus on 17 and looking at the seniors and how to maybe reach out to their parents and kind of set the table and get the ball rolling on recruiting. I know that we're at the very last for the 16 draft, but every agent who's in this business is always going to keep an eye on the next draft too. So that's kind of what we'll focus on, and I think that's what a lot of people are starting to think about. We, you know, it never stops, the evaluation part.
That's for sure. So, yeah, and I know, I think, you know, hey, the agents, you know, you got out there and recruit, spring ball's there. You know, you'll see agents starting to talk with guys if they haven't, you know, already. But it's exciting. We saw preseason football schedule release yesterday. I'd anticipate that the NFL regular season schedule will be released next week, you know, or 10 days, you know, from now, regards to just to give it some buzz before, you know, the NFL draft. And then it's going to be all about, you know, the NFL draft back in Chicago. So it's definitely, as far as an exciting time of year. And Neil, it's a, you know, great show, and appreciate your time, and look forward to talking with you next week.
Sounds great, Justin. Thanks for having me on. See you then.
Yeah, have a good one.